Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
The bad news, the average credit card has 6 different fees. But the good news is if you're traveling abroad, many credit cards have completely eliminated foreign transaction fees, which can save you quite a lot of money. Well, here to discuss the ups and downs of credit card fees is Matt Schultz. He is the creditcards.com senior industry analyst. Matt, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in reading this, I was struck by the fact that, gosh, there are a lot of fees. And, gosh, credit card companies must make a lot of money on these fees. You got any ideas how much of their income comes from fees?
It's an awful lot of money. The latest numbers that we've seen are that credit card issuers made about $94 billion, with a B, in card fees in 2015. That's up a little bit from 2014, but up more than $10 billion from 2013. So they're doing just fine.
Wow, that's incredible. Kind of takes my breath away. Yes. Well, interesting thing. I thought the foreign transaction fees, and I know that when my husband and I travel abroad, we're always curious about that because that can add a significant amount of money if you're using a credit card abroad and you're charging things and then you get this fee from the credit card company for you using it in a foreign country. So why has the industry kind of moved towards eliminating those fees?
Well, it's really all about competition. It's such an incredibly competitive time in the credit card marketplace. And international travelers tend to be higher spenders, tend to be more upscale. Thus, they're a pretty sought-after subgroup of consumers. So you add all that up, and foreign transaction fees make for a pretty good choice of a fee to eliminate for those guys.
Now, Matt, for the average consumer who's listening to this and doesn't have the resources that you all do to go out and do studies and all of this, how do they know what kind of fees they're going to be charged for a credit card? When you apply for a credit card, are the companies pretty upfront about what they're going to charge you, or is a lot of it buried, I hate to say this, but in the fine print?
The biggest, most common ones that everybody can name, annual fees, late payment fees, balance transfer fees, that sort of thing, are all in pretty big print in what's called a Schumer box. So it's a big box with lists of fees and your APR in big bold type. But there are some other fees that can be listed a little further down, a little smaller print. And we know we're all busy, but the more you can read of your fine print on your credit card, the better off you'll be and the fewer surprises you'll have.
And you'll know what constitutes a late fee, a transaction fee, and so on. And I want to talk about those. So let's just talk about the common ones that you find in the Schumer, what's so-called Schumer box, on your statement from the credit card company. What are the most common ones, and tell us how you incur those fees?
Okay, well, generally speaking, the most common one would be an annual fee. And we see those on about one in every four credit cards that are out there. It used to be a little more common. But an annual fee is exactly what it sounds like. The card issuer is going to charge you a fee of anywhere from $50 to up to $400+ just for having the card. And the good news is that a lot of times those fees are waived for the first year, so you don't necessarily have to worry about that in the beginning. But that's definitely a significant one that you would see in the Schumer box. Another one would be
Let me, before we get to the next one, let me stop and ask you a question about that. Okay, so I'm going to use this credit card, and the credit card company is going to make money off of my using their credit card, but they're going to also charge me a fee for the privilege of using it. I'm hoping they're going to give me something more than the average credit card is just going to give me access to credit.
Yeah, generally speaking, I mean, how it generally works is that the higher-end rewards cards might be the ones that would come with an annual fee. So if you have a card that's going to give you 50,000 air miles,
okay,
you may end up having an annual fee. It's probably going to get waived for the first year,
mm-hmm.
But you'll probably have an annual fee after that. And then also, if you want one of these super high-end cards that has a $450 annual fee, it gets you extra things like lounge access. It gets you, it might get you, you know, different, like a concierge at the airport, different things like that that might appeal to higher end folks that can actually be worth the cost of that annual mm-hmm. fee if you're that type of person. Though for the average Joe, it's probably not going to be.
Probably not going to be worth it. Yeah. I would think probably that would appeal in many ways to business travelers who are going to be in the air more,
sure,
probably flying more than most of us. And consequently, some of these perks could have great value to them. So I guess it's up to them and their company to decide whether or not that's of great value. Okay. Sorry about that.
Exactly.
I just wanted to clarify what some of those fees are and how, since I'm paying for that credit card in other ways, but okay, so there may be a reason to get a card with a fee.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes it's a matter of needing to pay a little bit of a fee to get a little extra perk.
Right. So now, what is number two?
Number two would be a late payment fee, and the late payment fee was actually the most common fee that we saw on any card. Only one of the 100 cards that we looked at did not have that fee.
Really?
That's
a miracle.
Yeah, it's something. That card, the Pentagon Federal Credit Union Promise Visa card, had zero fees. And it's the only card that we looked at, and I think the only card I know of, that has zero fees.
Wow.
So it's a significant thing.
But that's a limited membership type of card, too, isn't it? Or do you...
Yeah. Sometimes with some credit unions, there are ways to, like, you can make a donation to somebody, or you can mm-hmm. do kind of another way to get access to that card. But, yeah, generally credit unions keep their membership a little tighter.
Right. Let me just take a brief pause here. Time is flying by. And let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Matt Schulz. He is the Senior Industry Analyst with CreditCards.com. Matt, I hope I'm not murdering your name. Am I pronouncing Schulz correctly?
Yeah, it's pronounced like there's a T in it, even though there's not one. So
okay,
it's Schulz.
See, I am. All right, I apologize, listeners. Shows you how little I know. I read it literally. Schulz. Okay. that's a good one. I'm glad I asked you, because I've interviewed you before, and I thought to myself, you know, I think I'm doing this wrong. So anyway. Okay, let's go back to talking about credit card fees. So there's only one credit card that actually doesn't have any fees, and that has somewhat limited access to most consumers. In general, you say that 99% of them have a late payment fee, and that, but can that fee vary the amount that you're charged from card to card?
Yeah, it can. Generally speaking, it's about $37, $38. So it's significant. But
wow, yes.
The good news is that we've done surveys in the past where we've asked people about whether they've tried to get those waived, and 80% of people who have asked for a late payment fee to get waived have been successful.
Mm-hmm.
Only about 1 in 4 cardholders have ever asked, but if you do ask, you've got a pretty good chance of being successful.
Mm-hmm.
And some cards have even made that kind of a marketing talking point where mm-hmm. they promise that your first late payment won't incur a fee.
Oh, that's nice. Well, that's a smart idea because that's a significant amount there.
No question.
And what percentage of consumers, do you have any idea what percentage of consumers at some point incur a late fee?
I don't have a number off the top of my head. It's not as big a number as you might think, but it's still a significant thing. But it's really important for people to know that they can get that fee
right.
waived.
Okay.
If you're late two or three times in a year, that third time you're probably not going to get it. But if you're generally good and you just made a mistake, there's a really good chance that you're going to get that waived.
So just ask, right? Okay, moving down our list of common fees.
Yeah, another one is the cash advance fee, and that would be one that would also be in the big box. And that one was the second most common fee that we saw, and all but two cards had that. But again, there's a little bit of good news with that, which is that if you never get a cash advance, you never have to pay that fee.
So a cash advance would be me going into a store and using my credit card to get money rather than pay for an item. Would that be how it would work?
Yeah, it would be like, for example, using your card to get cash at an ATM.
Okay.
It might also be if you use one of those convenience checks that you sometimes mm-hmm. get in the mail, a lot of
okay.
those are treated as cash advance. But if you never do any of that, then the cash advance fee isn't going to be an issue.
You're not going to incur it. Okay. And moving
right.
along here, we've covered the top four, I believe. Number five?
Yeah, balance transfer fees are another big one.
Now, tell me what that means. I saw that on your list, and I wasn't quite certain what you meant by balance transfer fee.
Well, generally speaking, if you want to transfer a balance from one card to another,
okay.
the bank is going to charge you a fee just to do that transaction.
Even though it's within the same bank?
That's a good question. I mean, generally, you might be going from a Chase card to a Bank of America card, something
okay.
like that. So generally speaking, these balance transfer transactions cost you a little bit of money, and the typical fee is 3% of the transfer or $5 to $10, whichever is greater. So it can be a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw is that 89 of the 100 cards that we looked at allowed balance transfers to be done,
mm-hmm.
and 77 of those 89 cards charged some sort of fee to do the transaction.
Okay. So typically that's within one bank to another bank. They're losing your business, so they're going to make you pay for it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an important thing for people to keep in mind because, you know, the whole idea of transferring a balance is to be able to pay that balance off faster.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might feel a little blindsided by that balance transfer fee. If they don't know that that's coming.
Well, now, are you telling me that if I had a $10,000 debt on my credit card and I wanted to transfer that balance from one card to the other, that the bank that's holding that card initially is going to charge me 3%? What would that be, $300 to do that, make that transaction?
Not always. Some of them do have caps on them,
okay,
but not always, and that's an important thing to look at in the fine print.
Sure is.
That's a very important detail.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into the pennies, you know, on these things because they add up. I mean, when I was reading the study that you have done about fees, and I'm sitting here thinking, wow, if you incur very many of these each month, you're going to run up a sizable hunk of change that's going to be added onto your credit card bill. So be careful. That can be very significant. What are some of the other fees that might not be as transparent to the consumer?
Yeah, one of them would be a returned payment fee. So if you bounce a check on a credit card payment, about 3/4 of the cards that we looked at will charge you a fee for that.
So and you that, get again, that on both ends. You're gonna get a fee from your bank, and you're gonna get a fee from the credit card.
Good chance that that's true. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really a good reason to make sure you've got money in the bank before you start writing a check. I think it would, because the banks usually charge you if you overdraw your account, and then the credit card, if you're trying to pay by check to pay that credit card company with that check that's going to bounce, they're going to charge you a fee. So you can end up with a sizable amount of money tacked onto that check. So I guess
It's amazing how much a single mistake can cost you in fees.
Do you have any idea what the average cost that consumers pay in fees per consumer? Probably doesn't have any meaning, but
yeah, I don't know that I have a good number for that.
Okay, well that's all right. You know everything else, so you don't have to know that. So let's just take a a break here and let our listeners know who we are. I'm Shirley Rooker. I'm talking with this is Of Consuming Interest. I'm talking with Matt Schultz. He is the senior industry analyst for CreditCards.com, and we're talking about how all the fees that can be attached to a credit card can really add up to a hefty amount of money. So you have to be aware of them, and you should be aware of them when you get the card, what you're likely to be charged. So go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, it's no problem. And there are lots of different fees out there that people may not know about. And one of the maybe the most egregious one that we've seen is called the credit limit increase fee.
Huh?
And it's something that you find on the First Premier Bank credit card, which was tied with the First Premier Bank secured MasterCard for the card with the most potential fees at 12, which is obviously a lot.
Wow, you got that right.
But this credit limit increase fee says, and this is kind of in the fine print of their information, basically it says that if your limit is increased, the fee that you will be charged is 25% of that increase amount.
Say now that. So, say that again. So I'm going to be increasing the amount that I can charge on my credit card, and they're going to charge me for increasing that amount? Is that what you're saying to me?
The example that they use is that if they boost your credit limit by $100, and the First Premier Bank card is generally low credit limit for folks who are just getting started with credit or repairing
mm-hmm.
their credit.
Okay.
If they boost your credit limit $100, you're going to incur a fee of $25.
Why?
when that change comes.
Well, that's weird. They're giving me more credit so they can make more money off of me, and then they want to charge me a big hefty fee to add on to the amount I can charge. Have I got that right? Am I missing something here?
You have that right. It's really something. And you are able to reject the credit line increase, and the fee will be refunded.
Yeah, because,
but
I mean, they would have an incentive.
It
seems to me like they would have an incentive to keep giving me more credit, because then they could give me more charges. I'm not saying they do. I don't know. I'm just looking at it from the consumer standpoint and saying, wow, that's kind of interesting. But I can tell them, no, I don't want that. Well, I guess that's one thing. If you get a notice saying that your credit limit can go up, you need to see what kind of strings are attached to it.
No question. And there is also it's also a good reason to make sure that your credit is good and that you handle your business even with one of those, like, one of those kind of stepping stone training wheel sort of cards, because the better you handle those cards, the sooner you'll be able to graduate to a card with better terms.
With not so many fees.
So that's an important thing.
12 fees. Wow. That's a lot. I mean, wow. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But some of the cards, I mean, aside from the credit union one that we talked about, do have very few fees. There's one you have listed here, several of them that only have two fees. So I would say that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and one interesting thing about that is that a lot of them are targeted to folks who don't have perfect credit, and mm-hmm. that's something that we wouldn't necessarily have seen in previous years, because generally folks with the best credit get the best terms.
Mm-hmm.
But several of these cards with just two fees, including Capital One Platinum, Capital One Secured, Journey Student Rewards from Capital One, are all cards that you don't need perfect credit to
mm-hmm.
get.
Okay.
So that's a positive thing for folks who are kind of trying to recover from credit mistakes and
avoid. We haven't discussed, and we really don't have time to go into a detailed discussion on it, but are some of these cards that have fewer fees, are they likely to charge you a higher interest rate, or is that limited as to what they can charge you if you carry over a balance each month?
Well, there's not really a limit onto what APR that you can be charged.
Okay.
And for example, the first bank card that we talked about with the credit limit increase mm-hmm. fee has an APR in the 30s, which is obviously really, really high. And generally, folks with bad credit or less than perfect credit will pay higher interest rates. Silver lining is that if you pay that balance off every month, you can make that high interest rate moot, although obviously that's easier said than done a lot of times.
Well, and that means also that you're getting your credit into better shape, because those payments on time are going to be significant in terms of your future credit rating, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really the whole ball game. There's nothing more important than paying your bills on time every time. If you do that and you keep your balances low and you don't apply for too much credit in too short of a time, your credit's going to be just fine.
Okay, we only have a minute or two here left, Matt. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I guess the last thing I would say is that the good news is that even though all of these cards have their share of fees, you can avoid most of them by using your card wisely or by shopping around at places like creditcards.com. You can look for cards that have low balance transfer fees, that don't have foreign transaction fees, no annual fees, that sort of thing. And if you take care of your business, you can really eliminate a lot of these fees mm-hmm. from your daily life.
That's very good advice. I do think shopping around. So you have at creditcards.com, you have very good information for consumers on how to select a credit card, what you're likely to pay, and the things to look for, which is, you know, especially when people are starting out and developing credit, I think that they need that kind of information. They need that kind of advice, and you all are giving it to them.
Yeah, we literally have thousands of stories to help people mm-hmm. Make smarter decisions about getting credit and using it once they get it.
And that is the key thing there. It's how you use it, how you apply it, and how you pay for it. That's the big thing. Well, Matt, again, it's been a really fascinating time. It's lovely to have you with us, and you're helping us save money every time I interview you. So thanks a lot. And for our listeners, you've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Matt Schultz. He is the senior industry analyst with creditcards.com. I'm Shirley Rooker, and if you want to reach me, you can contact me at shirley@callforaction.org. So thank you very much for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.